Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Come fly with Global Air Force.
Jesus said the last 11 words he ever spoke out of his mouth before he went back to heaven. He said, "They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." But you have to go somewhere where it's happening. Never happened in the church I was raised in.
Now, here's your host, Jim Rohn.
Thank you for tuning into Global Air Force. Today on our broadcast, we have the late Norval Hayes, one of the great old storytellers, and I've enjoyed hearing this one. Norval Hayes.
World and preach the gospel. One time when the Spirit of the Lord moved up on me in my car, and the Lord said to me, "Go get your Bible. And I want you to read the 16th chapter of the book of St. Mark." I didn't even know what was in there at that time. And I got the Bible and I began to read from the first verse of the 16th chapter of the book of St. Mark. But when I came down to the 15th verse, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, "Now these are the most important words that ever came out of my mouth." I looked down and it said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils." I said, "Well, the church I was raised in don't do that." "They shall speak with new tongues." The church I was raised in don't do that. "They shall take up serpents." Church I was raised in, don't do that. "If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them." The church I was raised in, don't do that. And the last words, and he said to me, and the last 11 words that I ever spoke out of my mouth before I went to heaven was, "They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." And I had to say, "Well, the church I was raised in never did do that." I said, "Lord, what did we do in church?" "We never did do anything that you said do here. The four things that Jesus said do, we never did do any of them." I said, "What did we do?" And he hadn't answered me yet. He's still probably trying to figure it out. You know, if you just gather in a building, a white building with a steeple on it, and just go in there and do some things, and nothing what you're doing to speak of is presenting the Jesus you read about in the New Testament that opened up blind eyes and healing the cripples and setting people free. If nothing what you're doing, if you don't see that kind of Jesus working, I guess the Lord is trying to figure out, what are you doing there? What are you doing there? I don't have any gospel like that. The only gospel I got is my son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You're supposed to obey him. You're supposed to do what he says do. Your version of the gospel is supposed to be like his. Not different, like his. The Bible says, those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Last night, I gave an altar call. And I guess, I don't know, I'm probably a couple of hundred people, I guess, came to the altar. And he showed me look like a teenage girl. And the Lord wanted me to pray for her. I didn't know if there's anything wrong with her or not. But the Lord wanted me to pray for her. You don't have to show me what's wrong with her. God says, just pray for her. Many people God shows me in the congregation says, I want you to pray for that person. And most of the time, he don't show me what's wrong with him. I don't have to know what's wrong with him because I can't heal him anyway. I don't do the healing. The Lord does the healing. And he also said in the 19th verse, after they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, he said, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth. That's what God's trying to get us to do, is go forth and preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. The last 11 words that he spoke, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That means they shall get well. So I just called her up here and I laid hands up on her. I just began to pray for her. And I think television was already off then. Don't put my gospel under a bushel where nobody can see it.
Thank you, Lord,
for blessing me.
Put it on top of the table. Watch this.
I am blessed.
I am blessed.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For blessing me.
For blessing me.
Glory to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus forever.
Blessed Thank be you. The name of the Lord Jesus.
Are you blessed?
I'm blessed.
Are you? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, that's good preaching. Stand to your feet and say, Jesus, I'm blessed. Okay, little darling. Thank you, honey. You are healed in Jesus' name.
I can see. Thank you, Lord.
God, blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, Jesus said the last words, 11 words you ever spoke out of his mouth before he went back to heaven. He said, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. But you have to go somewhere where it's happening. Never happened in the church I was raised in. Why? Because we were disobedient gang of human beings. They still are, a whole bunch of them. And they don't lay hands on the sick yet. I tell you, you might as well know where to go to get healed. You can't get healed going someplace where Jesus is not healing people. Jesus, the last 11 words that ever came out of his mouth, he said, lay hands on the sick, Jesus said, and they shall recover. Amen. One time I was holding a service at the University of Florida in Gainesville, Florida. There's a girl came up and wanted me to pray for her. So I reached out and prayed for her in Jesus' name, and God led her out the floor. And I noticed she was sitting by a very distinguished looking gray-headed fellow. Looked like he was probably 65 or 70 years old, but a very distinguished looking man. Gray-haired fellow. And in a few minutes, why, she come walking up with him at the University of Florida. And she said, sir, this is my father. I'm visiting from New York, and I'm visiting my father. He is a professor at the University of Florida, and I talked him into coming with me tonight. And so, but he has something wrong with him. Would you please pray for him? I said, I sure will. And I reached out in Jesus' name very tenderly, laid my hand up on him again to pray for him. God's power began to move up on him, totally healed him. I mean, just operated on him, melted every disease, every affliction out of him. And I'd never seen him before in my life. It wasn't very long until I got a letter from New York in a few days in my office in Tennessee. And this letter says, I am the lady that, one of the ladies that you prayed for at Gainesville, Florida. And the Lord operated on me, and I am totally healed. And my daddy, a professor at the University of Florida, he got healed himself that night. And I came back, and I told the people in New York that you were Baptist. Well, God loves Baptist people. God wants to heal all Baptists. Our Methodists. Our humans. He loves all of them alike. How many people in this congregation, you was born and raised Baptist? Hold up your right hand. How many of you were born and raised Methodist? How the rest of you get in here? No, God loves people, that's all. God just loves people. And she said, and we want you to come to New York and hold a meeting for us, Mr. Hayes. And we have, and the First Baptist Church wants you to come and speak on Sunday night after you speak for us. The ministerial, my husband and different ones, they all the ministers in this town, they get together and have breakfast once a week. And they pray for the city. I wish all cities would do that. I wish the First Baptist pastor and the First Methodist pastor and the Catholic priest and the Jewish rabbi and the Pentecostal preachers, I would all of them get together and just have breakfast. And of course, there's no use in discussing the church because they all think they're right. And they wouldn't be there. They all believe they're right. You probably think you're right. If you study the Bible, you know what's in there. You know why God does things and why He don't do things. I mean, the promises of God in the Bible. You don't know. No man knows everything about God. No man knows why He does this and why He does that. But the Lord just gave me some inside depth of the Word. Just very simple things that a child can understand. And he told me one time, he said, son, when people please me, when their faith please me, when they please me, I manifest myself to them. In whatever area they please me in, that's what they get. I mean, God will manifest Himself to you, and He'll bring you victory, my brother and sister. And you need to know that. He'll bring you total victory. Blessed be God forever. I said, well, the First Baptist Church in New York wants me to speak on Sunday night, huh? I says, well, why not? I might as well go up there and hold a seminar and speak. I prayed about it and speak at the First Baptist Church. So I go. And I start on Friday night. And I spoke at a certain place on Friday night where all churches gather in. And since I was booked and advertised to speak at the First Baptist Church on Sunday night, I didn't know he was there. It was a very distinguished looking man sitting on the front row. And there's a woman sitting beside of him. And a child looked like this, about 8 years old, sitting beside of him. But I didn't know he was the First Baptist pastor of the church I was going to speak at on Sunday night. And so the first night, I get up and talk about deliverance and talk about faith and talk about the goodness of God. And God will set anybody free in Jesus' name. It's for you. And I got through speaking, and all of a sudden, the woman got up out of her seat and she came towards the front trembling like this. Now I'm standing down here. I saw her coming, so I just met her because I knew that she needed help big. And I had the kind of knowledge to give her help. Blessed be God forever. Amen. All the power is in Jesus' name, but you have to know how to use it, my brother and sister. God will do anything for you if you'll show respect to His Son. If you'll show respect to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you let Jesus be the head of your church, God in heaven will do anything for you. Because you can't get to heaven through any name except the name of Jesus. So I just met her, in all of her misery. And she was suffering. She looked miserable. Looked like she'd been that way. I said, in Jesus' name, I just met her. I said, in Jesus' name, Satan, I break your power over this woman. I command you, leave her alone. Come out of her. And the moment I said that, she went, ow, and fell back. And her head went between the First Baptist pastor's legs. She fell backwards. Looks like she's going to hit him, but he goes. And her head's between his legs, and she's going, ah, ah. And she's screaming with her tongue at the top of her voice. I said, come out of her in Jesus' name. Let her go free. I said, come out of her. Obey me. I said, come out of her in Jesus' name. She goes, ah. She screamed 5 or 6 times real loud, about as loud as she could. You know, and he was going. And I kept standing over and I said, obey me in Jesus' name. Come out of her, I said. Let her go free. And all of a sudden, that devil believed me. If a devil ever believes you, he'll run off. And he'll go back into the air. If cancer ever believes you, it'll leave. And the only reason the cancer don't leave, because it don't believe you. Cancer don't believe that you can make it leave. But let me ask hundreds of thousands of you out there looking in homes and in churches. Let me ask you a question. Can you? I'm asking you a question. Can you make cancer leave? Can you run cancer off? Do you know the power there is in Jesus' name? Do you know how to speak with authority? And you tell cancer boldly, face to face, you can't stay in my body, cancer. In Jesus' name, I command you, obey me. Go from my body. My body belongs to God. In Jesus' name, go, I said. If you'll talk to cancer like that a few days, just like I did then, after a while, it'll get to believe in you, and it just leaves your body, just disappears. And don't get confused. It disappears every time. You might say, yeah, but Brother Norval, I know somebody with had cancer that it didn't disappear and they died. Honey, so what? I know thousands of them. But you don't know of anybody that cancer didn't leave when the person themselves, not somebody for them, the gospel is not second class. Not somebody for them, somebody for them, somebody for them. But I'm talking about them themselves. And you're going to have to come to the bottom line of the gospel, my brother and sister, and you just need to know this real bad. The bottom line of holding on to God's blessings is your own faith and your own believing. You come here and you can be healed. I guarantee you can be healed. That girl you saw right there, God healed her eyes last night. If she left that kind of a church and went over into some cold church that refuses to do that, the blindness would come back up on her again, and she couldn't see people's faces no more. It is so important that you go to a New Testament church where they're willing to obey what Jesus said. You can't fight the gospel, my brother and sister. You can't fight the gospel. I'm telling you and I'm warning you, you can't fight the gospel. When Jesus says something, he means exactly what he says. And he says it so plainly, spells it out in English for you. When Jesus said, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Well, a child in the third grade. A child in the third grade can understand that. I always tell Baptists, when I read that to them, I tell Baptists, I say, your hands are these two wide things out here at the end of your arms. See? See? See, Baptist? See? 37,000 Southern Baptist churches and 15 million members. See my hands? I'm First Baptist. See my hands? I got hands. Jesus said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That means get well. But you let, I don't care if it's Baptist, Methodist, Church of Christ, or what it is. You let any kind, any person or any denomination, look the 16th chapter of Mark right straight in the face. Look at it straight in the face and look at Jesus straight in the face and say, well, it doesn't make any difference what you say. I got news for you. We've got our own version of the gospel. And that is not the way that we do it here. That really goes over in heaven. Really. You're really going to impress God with your big fancy buildings and your doctors and your choirs with robes. You're really going to impress the Holy Ghost. Oh, sure. That First Baptist pastor, I saw him get his wife by his hand, by her hand, and the little girl, and they left. And the place I was staying in New York, Saturday afternoon, I got a call to the place I was staying, and it was from the First Baptist pastor. Saturday afternoon, and he wanted to come over and talk to me because I'm going to speak at his church on Sunday night. And so I said, well, all right, it'd be all right. He said, I'll have to talk to you about an hour. I says, well, that'd be okay. That'd be fine. And before he got over there, somebody called me up and said, I have a friend here with me. And he's a deacon at the First Baptist Church. And his wife is all messed up. He lives in torment all the time. I said, oh, really? They said, yes, he lives in torment all the time because she has one chair in her house that she sits in and she won't let nobody else sit in it. And she hadn't washed the dishes in her house in 3 years. Everything in her house has germs on it. And she takes 6 or 8 baths a day. And her hands and her arms are broken out in a rash in her neck because she washes and scrubs herself with soap and changes clothes 6 or 7 times a day. And we're calling you. Do you think you could help this woman? Well, I said, she's the First Baptist lady and her husband's one of the deacons at the First Baptist Church. And she's been working for the First Baptist Church here in town for 28 years. Well, I knew that she's demon possessed. Totally just demon possessed, that's all. So they came over there and First Baptist pastor got there. He wanted to talk to me first. And so he got there and he went to telling me, he says, Mr. Hayes, I want to talk to you about Sunday night service. I felt sorry for him. He said, I want to talk to you about Sunday night service. He said, Sunday night service, you know, my congregation just loves to hear life stories. And they would just love to hear your life story. He wanted me to stay out of Mark 16. You know, isn't it amazing? Be a pastor of a church and don't want to get involved with the Bible. You know, how dense can you get? And so I said, now, Pastor, I know that you're probably as nervous as a cat on a hot tin roof. But don't worry about it. I try to be led by the Holy Ghost. And whatever the Holy Ghost tells me to do Sunday night, that's what I want to do. If it's all right with you. And he looked like he was fixing to say, that's what I was afraid of. And because he'd been to service with me a couple of nights before, he said, I know. Well, he says, I just want to encourage you, Mr. Hayes, really encourage you to give your life story. But I said, we'll see, Pastor. And I said, about this woman upstairs, did she go to your church? Yeah, oh, yeah, she'd been working in the church 28 years. Good, faithful woman. I said, she's demon-possessed. Well, it never goes over when you come by and tell a pastor that one of his best members are demon-possessed. He says, but her husband's a good man, and she puts him through hell. She hadn't washed the dishes in 3 years. I said, well, let's go upstairs. They're waiting on us upstairs. You want to go up and watch this? He says, yeah. So we go upstairs, and so I said, and she's all broken out with her hands and arms, you know, and all broken out and stuff. And I said, what's wrong with you? How come all this breaking out on you, lady? And she says, well, I washed myself with soap. I scrubbed myself sometimes 16, 18 times a day. I take 6 or 7 baths a day and change clothes several times a day. All of my clothes, from my undergarments, everything, because I don't want no germs to get on me. She didn't know she was covered up with them. And I says, yeah, but it's ruining your skin. It's breaking out. Why do you do that? She says, well, I don't want any germs to get on me. I said, why don't you wash your dishes at home? I don't want, no, I can't stand to touch a dirty plate. I don't want those germs to get on me, I tell you. I just can't stand it. I wanted to grab her right then so bad I couldn't stand it. But since I'm nice, I just took it easy. American woman trying to make a home, trying to make a family with a family, trying to make a home, standing on my face, telling me, oh, I can't stand to touch a dirty plate. Oh, no, it's too dirty. You know why? I'm going to say, come out of her, you devil. Boy, it takes a big devil to lie to you that much. I mean, ladies, what do you think would happen in your home if you would got through eating in the morning and tell your husband, I don't want to wash a dish? Well, he'd say, well, honey, I don't care what you want. And so I started questioning, and I says, and then all of a sudden the Holy Ghost began to rise up in me and give me the information, began to give me a discerning of spirits. One of the gifts of the Spirit is called discerning of spirits. And he began to give me the word of knowledge also, what to ask her. So I said, let me ask you a question, lady. I said, now here's three or four men in there, the First Baptist pastor, her husband, and another man or two was in there watching this. And I said, lady, let me ask you a question. Do you know for sure that the Holy Ghost lives inside of your belly? And she goes, I said, do you know for sure there is a person that lives inside of your belly? She goes, a person? A person? I said, yes, the Holy Spirit is a person from heaven. He is a person. He's not some spooky spirit wandering around, you know. He's a person. He knows what he's doing all the time. Does he live in your belly or don't he? She says, I've been working at the First Baptist Church for 28 years. I want to say, First Baptist Spirit, come out of her! But since I'm nice, I didn't. I went ahead and, you know, I said, I didn't ask you what you've been working. I said, do you know if the Holy Spirit lives inside of you or not? She says, no. If you died tonight, lady, do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven? Do you know that? I've been a church member for 28 years. She said, "Mr. Hayes, I work at the church all the time. Don't I, Pastor?" Pastor said, "Yeah, she's a good worker." I wanted to go. My brother and sister, you don't go to heaven because you're a good worker. You go to heaven because you're born again, washed clean by the blood of Jesus. She said, "Well, I've been working for the church 28 years. I said, "Is the Holy Spirit, you know if the Holy Spirit lives in you or not?" She says, "I don't know." And the Lord said to me, "She's not even saved." I said, "Oh my God. Been working at the church 28 years, not even saved. The Holy Spirit's not even in her." I said, "Okay, lady." I says, "Now, would you like to know for sure if you died tonight you'd go to heaven?" She said, "Yes, sir. I'd like to know." I said, "Oh, well, all right, you can know. And of course, you know, if you have to put up with the pastor or somebody around you." Well, now, she's been working for the church 28 years. I said, "I command everybody in this room, be quiet. I'm not interested in work, years, buildings, or nothing. I'm interested in her soul. I want this woman to go to heaven. She is sincere, and she means business, and I want her to go to heaven. I want you to repeat after me, but I want you to mean it." So I took her through the sinner's prayer. I got her to confess, to repent of her sins. And I got her down to the point in the sinner's prayer where I got her to say, "Now, by faith, Jesus, I receive forgiveness of my sins." I said, "Now say, by faith, honey." She said, "By faith, I receive the Holy Spirit in me now." I said, "By faith, I am a child of God." She says, "By faith, through grace of God, by faith, I am a child of God." I said, "In Jesus' name." She said, "In Jesus' name, I am a child of God." And the moment she said that, she said, "Oh, like something happened to me inside." I said, "Sure it did. Your spirit got reborn that moment. The Holy Spirit will come in you. When you confess your sins and ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and invite Him to come in and forgive you and wash you clean and white as snow, the Spirit of God will come in you so quick. Sometimes He comes in you so quick, you can even feel Him come in. But you don't walk by feelings, you walk by faith. And you believe by faith." So at that moment I said, "Now then, you're a candidate to be free." I laid my hands upon her. And I said, "Thank you, Lord, for the healing of this woman. Thank you, Lord, for your total healing. In Jesus' name, you foul spirit that's come and deceived her, and where she won't wash dishes in her house, and she's put her husband through a living hell by trying to stay clean, and she spent all of his money on soap." I said, in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan. I command you, obey me. Come out of her. In Jesus' name, obey me. I said, come out of her. In Jesus' name, let this woman go free. Obey me, I said, come out of her. And the moment she began broken, she began to weep. And she wept, and she wept, and she wept. I took my hands up, she wept, and she wept, and she wept, and she wept. And she kept on weeping. And the Holy Spirit melted her out of the chair. She wept on the floor, her face down there. She must have cried for 10 or 15 minutes. I mean, just boo-hoo. And all of a sudden, then she raised her head up. Just raised her head up. The whole room just got like a holy awe came in the room. She raised her head up and looked at me and she said, And she looked at the First Baptist pastor. She looked at her husband and she said, they're all gone. I said, where did they go to, honey? She said, they went out that window. I saw them. They went out, they left me and went out that window. I said, will you go home and wash your dishes? Yes, sir. I'll go home and wash my dishes. Everything has left me. Everything has left me. She said, Pastor, I am free. Looked to her husband and said, honey, I am free. Everything's gone from me. I'm free. Got saved after working in the church 28 years. I looked over to her husband and I said, I had my doubts about him anyway. But the pastor told me he was a good man. But what the pastor says a good man and what I call a good man may be completely different. I had my doubts about him. So I asked him, I said, "What kind of a man are you, sir?" He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, are you strong or are you weak?" I said, "The devil works in weakness and God works with strength. Which one works with you? Are you strong or weak?" He says, "Well, I'm deacon of the First Baptist Church, you know, I'm a head." I said, "I'm pretty strong." I said, "Well, now, you know anything about the devil?" He says, "No, I don't know. Well, I know he's mean." I said, when you get to your house, and take her inside of the house, those devils that's wrecked her life for years is going to try to operate again. And I said, "Now, the first thing when you get in her house, the chair that she won't let you sit in, go over and sit down in it. Just run over and say, 'Honey, look here, I'm sitting in your chair. I'm sitting in your chair.'" I said, "Then get up and go in and run some hot water and squirt some joy in it," or whatever you use. And I said, "Get all the dishes out, put them in there." I says, "Now, honey, come here and wash the dishes." And if she even says no, I said, grab her hands and said, "I said wash the dishes in Jesus' name." Even though she said, "I'm free and I'll wash the dishes," I don't trust the devil. I said, "Now, can you run the devil out of your house? You want me to go home with you and run him out?" "You have to run the devil out of your house." They have no right in Jesus' name. They have no right. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And the first mission, in my name, they shall cast out devils." But wait a minute. The Lord said, "Don't just thank me now because you can cast out devils. Thank me because your names are written in heaven. Thank me because you win souls. I only cast out devils when I come up on one of them. I go around looking for lost people. I don't go around looking for devils." But you don't have to look for them. They're just all around you anyway. Most places you go to, you'll see plenty of them. But here's a woman, 28 years, been deceived by the devil, nearly wrecking her own family. She said, "I'm sure my husband would already have been left me if he had been a good man." I said, "Well, I'm sure he would have too. You haven't washed the dishes in 3 years. Have to hire somebody to come in and do that all the time, just because she won't do it. She's too dirty. And not even saved. Working in the church 28 years and not even saved. Allowing devils to come in and just take you over. Not even saved. But she got saved to give her life to the Lord. And it was so wonderful to see her saved and to see him and see that First Baptist family restored back. Just on account of a sinner's prayer. A sinner's prayer. Listen to me. Thousands of you listen to me. Listen to me. You're only one small prayer away from heaven. Only one. Your name can be written in the Lamb's Book of Life tonight. And God wants it in there. Think about it. There is nobody in the world that God loves more than he loves you. He loves you as much as he loves anybody in the whole world. And he wants to heal you and he wants to set you free. Completely heal you and completely set you free. And he wants to do it right now.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my song.
Thank you for listening to our program today. Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life.